and howlive.org to download the files. To open the meeting, let us have a moment of quiet meditation, and for those who wish to join us in saying the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity
to accept the things that I cannot change.
Courage to change. Anxiety, and the wisdom to know the difference.
I will.
Not mine. Be done.
Amen.
I assume that I am not alone this evening, but for the record, are there any other compulsive eaters at this meeting other than myself?
Oh, yes. Right over here.
Yes.
Thanks for being here with me. Please use the meeting's chat function as a virtual We Care book and enter your first times available for phone calls and whether or not you are currently a sponsor in the How format. We will then add you to the We Care book that is being circulated in the room when we are in the room. A copy of this list can be sent to you via email after the meeting. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and mutual support, are recovering from compulsive eating. We welcome everyone who wants to eat compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are fully self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and carry the message of recovery to those who still suffer. Would someone please read What is How?
Hi, I'm Heidi. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Heidi. Welcome.
Hi, Heidi. Welcome.
Not sure
what's happening to my hair here. I just took a shower. Anyway, what is How? How is a movement within Overeaters Anonymous whose basic principle is that abstinence is the only means to freedom from compulsive overeating and the beginning of a spiritual life. Where and why did How begin? How began in Phoenix in 1981 as a means of reviving a group called OA Victorious. Its meeting format is taken from Roseanne's book, I Put My Hand in Yours, and centers around the concept of service. Many of the questions used in How sponsoring stem from OA Plus and Westminster groups. The outline of service came from the OA Suffolk County New York Sponsors Guide. Thank you.
Thank you, Heidi.
Thanks, Heidi.
Would someone please read the only requirements?
Winnie, I gotta call you back. Hi, Amanda. I think it's me. Is it me?
It is.
I'm not sure. Go ahead, Maggie.
Okay, thank you. Thanks. Hi. This is Maggie, I'm a compulsive eater in Toronto, and I'm going to read the only requirement.
Welcome, Maggie.
Oh, thank you. Okay, the only requirement. Overeaters Anonymous respects the autonomy of each OA group. We do suggest, however, that any group that has requirements in addition to the suggested 12 steps and 12 traditions inform its members that these requirements are what that particular group has found effective in working the program and do not represent OA as a whole. The members of this group have found the How concept to be effective in working the OA program. The opinions expressed here this evening by those who share are their own and not necessarily those of OA. The Board of Trustees states, we understand the third tradition to mean that individual ways of working one's program should not exclude any compulsive overeater from attendance and participation in OA meetings anywhere, anytime. The only requirement for membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Anyone who says he or she is a member is a member. We of OA welcome all members with open arms. Pass.
Thank you, Maggie.
Thank you, Maggie.
Would someone please read the How concept?
Hi, I'm Jane, compulsive eater.
Hi, Jane.
Hey, Jane. Welcome.
Hey, Jane.
Thanks. The How concept. Overeaters Anonymous How meetings have been formed to offer the compulsive overeater who accepts the 12 steps and 12 traditions as a program of recovery a disciplined and structured approach. How groups are formed in the belief that our disease is absolute and that only absolute acceptance of the OA program will offer any sustained abstinence to those of us whose compulsion has reached a critical level. Therefore, we accept the 9 tools of program and the 12 steps and 12 traditions as necessary for our recovery. In OA How, our daily action plan is outlined in the structured use of each of the other tools. Our meetings are dedicated to the concept of remaining honest, open-minded, and willing to listen. Sorry. This is the how of the program. We pray that the collective group conscience and love that these ideals offer us will promote a strong sense of security that will enable us to experience a new unity and wholeness with all those around us, and that the how ideals will help us to progress in our program of recovery on a daily basis. To be certain, much of our strength is found in the structure of meetings and in the daily adherence to the program as it is written in our literature. The Tuesday meeting also firmly understands that after our recovery has begun through abstinence and the taking of the first 3 steps, our further surrender to the additional steps of recovery offers us a promise of happiness, contentment, and achievement in all areas of our lives. We ensure our continued and sustained abstinence from compulsive overeating by being forever aware that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. May God, as each of us understands him, open our minds and hearts to the love which is manifested on this meeting. Amen. Thanks.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you, Jane. Thank you, Jane.
Would someone please read reflections for the newcomer?
Hello, everyone. It's Maureen, compulsive overeater.
Hi, Maureen. Welcome.
Hey, Maureen.
Hi, everyone. Reflections for the newcomer. Welcome to OA How. We are all so glad that you have decided to become a part of our fellowship. You know that the How concept is a disciplined program. We believe that the discipline of weighing and measuring, of telephoning your sponsor at a particular time, of attending meetings and making phone calls, all lead to a life based on the universal discipline, which is accord rather than discord, even with many things going on around us. Therefore, if there is a breakdown in any of these areas, the concept is threatened, as is the individual's abstinence. We have found that the discipline must remain as constant for the beginner as for the sponsor. If the newcomer shies away from this life's responsibility, the sponsor may give the newcomer's time slot to someone more committed to recovery. This is not a personal affront, but a matter of necessity. So many who think they should recover, in fact, are not ready. If the newcomer should show lack of commitment, the sponsor may then offer the newcomer assistance in finding a new sponsor. The rationale here is, if the newcomer insists on picking up the food before the phone, then there is a breakdown in the level of communication between the sponsor and the newcomer. Quote, frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. This is from the doctor's opinion, Big Book, page 26, paragraph 2. If a sponsor slips, get a new one. The pitfalls of self-deception cannot be overstressed if you are to recover. Therefore, a sponsor, in all self-honesty, must release all sponsees to continue their own recovery. A sponsor cannot give what they do not experience. Finally, you must believe that we need each other. All problems that arise can be worked on via the phone or person-to-person contact. Only positive, upbeat recovery belongs at our meetings. Quote, a body badly burned by alcohol does not often recover overnight, nor do twisted thinking and depression vanish in a twinkling. We are convinced that a spiritual mode of living is the most powerful restorative. This is from the Family Afterward, Big Book, page 133, paragraph 2. Good luck. Everyone in the fellowship is praying that you find the release from the obsession so many of us have. God bless. And no matter what, keep coming back. We'll always be here for you. With that, I pass.
Thanks, Maureen.
Would someone please read an excerpt from step 2 of the OA 12 and 12?
I have Patricia B. down.
I don't know if I see her. Oh, yeah, she is.
See, Megan, why don't you go ahead, if you don't mind?
Thank you, Megan.
I don't mind. Absolutely. Let me pop back over to the readings. This is excerpt of chapter 2, correct?
Correct.
Okay, cool.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Megan. I'm a compulsive overeater in Virginia.
Hey, Megan.
Hi, Megan.
Hey, y'all. When we look with complete honesty at our lives, we see that where eating is concerned, acted in an extremely irrational and self-destructive manner. Under the compulsion to overeat, many of us have done things that no sane person would think of doing. We have driven miles in the dead of night to satisfy a craving for food. We have eaten food that was frozen, burnt, stale, or even dangerously spoiled. We have eaten food off of other people's plates, off of the floor, off of the ground. We have dug food out of the garbage and eaten it. We have frequently lied about what we have eaten, lied to others because we didn't want to face the truth ourselves. We have stolen food from our friends, families, and employers, as well as from the grocery store. We have also stolen money to buy food. We have eaten beyond the point of being full, beyond the point of being sick of eating. We have continued to overeat, knowing all the while that we were disfiguring and maiming our bodies, and we have isolated ourselves to eat, damaging our relationships and denying ourselves a full social life. For the sake of our compulsive eating, we have turned ourselves into objects of ridicule and we have destroyed our health. Then, horrified by what we were doing to ourselves with food, we became obsessed with diets. We spent hundreds of dollars on weight loss schemes. We bought all sorts of appetite control drugs. We joined diet clubs and spas. We had ourselves hypnotized and analyzed. We had major surgery on our digestive systems. We had our ears stapled or our jaws wired shut. All of this we did willingly, hoping that someday we could have our cake and eat it too. Some of us went from doctor to doctor looking for it. The doctors gave us diets, but we had no better success with those than the other diets we'd been on. The doctors gave us shots and pills. Those worked for a while, but we inevitably lost control and overate again, putting back on the weight we had worked so hard to lose. Many of us tried fasting, with or without a doctor's supervision. Usually we lost weight, but as soon as we started eating again, the compulsive eating behavior returned along with the weight. Some of us learned to purge ourselves with vomiting, laxatives, and excessive exercise. We'd stuff food into our mouths until we were in physical pain, and then we'd get rid of it. We damaged our digestive systems and our teeth while we starved our bodies of nutrients needed to live. Those of us who were overweight got plenty of advice from others about how to get to our ideal size, but nothing permanently solved our problem. We found that no matter what we did to ease our turmoil, our compulsive eating eventually returned. Over the long haul, our weight went up and our self-esteem went down. After a while, we became battle-weary and discouraged. Still, we could never accept our powerlessness. The prospect of being obese, sick, and out of control for the rest of our lives led some of us to conclude that life was simply not worth living. Many of us thought about suicide. Some of us tried it. Most of us, however, never reached suicidal desperation. Instead, we took comfort in a feeling that everything was all right as long as we could get enough to eat. The only trouble was that as our compulsive eating progressed, it became harder for us to get enough. Instead of bringing comfort, the overeating backfired. The more we ate, the more we suffered, yet we continued to overeat. The true insanity could be seen in the fact that we kept right on trying to find comfort in excessive food long after it began to cause us misery. Thanks for letting me be of service, I pass.
Thank you, Megan.
Thank you, Megan.
Would someone please read from chapter 5 of the book Alcoholics Anonymous, How It Works?
I'm Bryn.
Hi, Bryn.
I'm Bryn.
Hi, Bryn.
Hi, Bryn.
In Eau Claire, Wisconsin. Okay, chapter 6, how it works. Rarely have we seen a person fail who thoroughly followed our path. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to a simple program. Usually men and women who are constantly incapable of being honest with themselves. They are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing the manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those too who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many who have the capacity to be honest, many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. Our stories disclose in a general way how we used to be like, what happened, what we're like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length together, then you are ready to take certain steps. As some of the people, we thought we could find an easier way, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness of our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and result was nil until we let go absolutely. Remember, we deal with food, with alcohol or food, cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help is too much for us. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. May you find him now. Half measures avail nothing. We stood at the turning point. And we asked his protection with care, with complete abandon. Here are the steps he took are suggested as a program of recovery. I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Bryn.
Thank you, Bryn. Would someone please read the 12 steps of recovery?
Hello, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hey, Tamara, welcome.
Hello, everyone. Hello. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unbearable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people whenever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Many of us exclaimed, "What an order, I can't go through with it." Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we're willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guides to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. That's from the Big Book, Chapter 5, page 50. And I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Tamara.
Would someone please read the 12 traditions of the program?
Mm-hmm. Hi, everybody. I'm Kelly. I'm a compulsive overeater. The 12 traditions.
Hey, Kelly. Welcome.
1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communications. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you. Kelly.
The Tools of Recovery. The 12 Steps of Overeaters Anonymous are a program of recovery. Webster's Dictionary defines tool as any person or thing used to get something done. We have many tools of the program which will help us to recover on a daily basis. Tools are essential to get the job done, and they work for us. In order for a tool to work, it must be used.
What?
Wow. Really?
How?
Craziness. So too, with our tools of recovery, I will ask that house sponsors explain how they use a particular tool with a limit of 3 minutes for each tool. Would someone be willing to be the timekeeper? Do we have a timekeeper?
It's Sheila. I can do it if no one else has signed up.
Thank you, Sheila.
Thank you, Sheila.
You're welcome.
Participants will receive timing prompts via the chat. Abstinence plan of eating.
Hey, y'all. I'm signed up for that. Abstinence plan of eating to be read by a house sponsor. A food plan. Oh, this is still Megan in Virginia.
Megan.
A food plan is a commitment to recovery. The how disciplines were designed for food addicted people. We believe in a disciplined and structured approach. How abstainers do not modify their food plan to suit themselves and commit themselves to black and white abstinence. Deviations invite the return of many other problems. A food plan is not a personal thing in how. This means that we depend upon each other for the strength and growth we need to remain abstinent. We join together in an effort to free the compulsive overeater from the bondage of food through the use of a food plan, positive thinking, and the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. We eat weighed and measured meals with nothing in between except sugar-free beverages and sugar-free gum. Food is written down, called into our sponsor, and committed so that we can get on with our recovery and out of the food. We also believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we abstain from negative thinking. Those of us who work the HOW program concepts use the following guidelines for food plans. Number one, we do not write our own food plan. We use a food plan given to us by a doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian. We discuss it with our sponsor. We do not pick one that allows any of our binge foods. If some food on our plan becomes a problem, we avoid it. Unless approved by a sponsor, we do not skip meals, switch meals, or combine meals. We do not deviate or manipulate our food plan in any way. If we need to change our committed food during the day, we call a sponsor. We weigh and measure all of our portions so that there is no guesswork. We do not measure by eye. We use a measuring cup, spoon, and a scale. And here I'm going to share my abstinence kit. Brought a couple things up here with me. The main thing in my abstinence kit is my kitchen scale. It's really big. It's like a big honking thing. It sits on my counter. It weighs in grams and milliliters and ounces. It has like six different things. And I put a plate on this scale and I will zero it out. And then I put, say, my protein on it and say that's 4 ounces of beef tonight. And then I zero it out again, and maybe I put on 3 ounces of rice, zero it out again, and I put on 2 ounces of sour cream, and zero it out 8 ounces of vegetables. And I build my meal right on my plate. That's how I do my food plan. There are some folks in program who use cups. If you are someone who uses a measuring cup, say you get a third of a cup of rice, you would put the rice in, you would scrape across the top to make sure you don't have it all mounded up, because if it was me and I was doing it, I'd have, like, you know, kind of this big baseball on top of it or something. We don't do that. It's a third of a cup. You either pack it in or just place it in, and that's something you just do consistently. You're a stuffer or a fluffer. And then you straighten that out, and what's inside belongs to you, and what fell on the floor or clinging to the outside or whatever is not yours. I like the scale weighing because it limits my dishes and it's less fussy to me. And there's a lot of clarity. It's 8.0, right? Or it's 4.0. I don't have to worry about, oh, is that Brussels sprout sticking up? I don't like that. So that's why I don't use cups. And I prefer the scale, but this is a completely legitimate thing if that's what works for you. I have a little travel scale, one of these. These are Joseph ones. You can get them on Amazon. I have another one that's similar, but a little different. This is really convenient when you go to a restaurant, if you ever go to those these days, because you can put your plate in a restaurant on top of this, and this little digital display sticks out, and it's very discreet. Like, you can do that same, oh, thank you, Sheila, that went quickly. So very discreet. I can talk about more of that later. Let me continue on with 4. We weigh ourselves once a month until we reach goal weight, and once a week on maintenance. 5, unless advised otherwise by your doctor, we take a multivitamin and drink 64 ounces of water a day. 6, we do not drink alcohol. 7, we do not use foods containing sugar, except if sugar is listed 5th or beyond on the ingredients label. And 7, oh, that was 7. And above all, we do not vacillate or water down. The disciplined nature of the HOW program, it is not the extra string bean that counts. It is the decision to take it. So my food plan, we often talk about the food plan as being step 0. And I am really grateful for my food plan. It's not a diet. You know, a lot of people, when I talk to them about my food plan in the real world out here, they think that I'm on a diet, and it's really hard to explain to somebody what the difference is. But for me, this is the way I live my life. My food plan is not a short-term thing until I get to a certain weight or fit into a certain dress size. This is the rest of my life, and I am completely at peace with that, because it gives me freedom and it gives me peace. Freedom and peace that I never had prior to program and having a food plan and then going on to work the steps. I don't think the food plan gives me the peace. I think working the steps gives me the peace, but I can't work the steps when I'm headfirst in the food. So that's why it's step 0. I've got to be abstinent so that I can have the mental clarity to look at my stuff. And I can't stay abstinent on my own. I need this program. I need the tools. I really need a food plan. Because left to my own devices, the brownie always seems to be the answer, right? You know, if you leave me in charge, the disease will present this food item as the answer to all of my problems, or the reward for my hard work, or the solace that I need in that moment, because life is often hard and difficult, right? And I was using food to soothe or to uplift or to numb, all of those things. And today, I have a program, I have a fellowship, I have a higher power, I have the steps, tools, and traditions that I use to walk through all those things. And the food is just fuel to get me through my day. And to have that much neutrality around food when I couldn't go 30 minutes without like figuring out what I could put in my mouth next and was extremely overweight and miserably unhappy, that's a miracle. And that is something that I will be forever grateful to this program, that it's given me that freedom and that neutrality around food. And the food plan is step zero, the first part of that. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Megan.
Thank you, Megan.
Thank you, Megan.
Megan.
Sponsorship.
Policy for Food. My name is Lewis from Maryland.
Hey, Lewis. Welcome.
Sponsorship. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and to living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. In working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction. Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how it was achieved. A member may work with one or more sponsors and may change sponsors at will. A house sponsor is a compulsive overeater who has completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. Reflections to the sponsor, suggestions for a discussion. No list of reflections or meditations are end-alls or be-alls for the newcomer. A sponsor must be attentive not only to what the new person is saying, but also to what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchase books and who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down the discipline nature of the HAL program. It is not the extra string bean that is the problem. It is the decision to have it that results in some trouble. The HAL concept is an alternative for people who have tried everything else. Therefore, the program is an immutable triumvirate of tools, steps, and traditions. Using the tools of weighing and measuring our food, sponsors, meetings, phone calls, reading and writing, service and anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and 12 traditions of OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addiction. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help each other. I can't imagine working this program without a sponsor. I have an amazing sponsor who I'm very grateful for. I call her up every morning at 5:45 in the morning. When I call her, I have my food ready. I have my writing. I have my reading done. And I also have my gratitude list and my plan of action. And for this sponsor, who's very much committed to service, she has me write what service I committed the previous day. What did I do? So I go through all that with her. Typically the reading and writing I do is step related. So I do my step work with her on a daily basis. And she gives me feedback. Gives me, may ask me to do assignments. So if I'm going through a rough patch, she may suggest that I perform a particular kind of inventory or focus my writing on something else. But it's a remarkable relationship. The call lasts for about 15 minutes. We start with a serenity prayer, and we always end my sharing with her by praying the third step prayer. It is, to me, that experience, that relationship is the equivalent of the weave of the fabric of what it means to be a part of we. It is my relationship with my sponsor teaches me all about accountability and in a really important way, how to engage in an abstinent relationship, in a clean relationship, in an honest relationship. And so I'm very, very grateful for my sponsor. And she in turn shows me how to sponsor somebody else. And so I can pass my experience, strength, and hope that I get from her that was so generously given to her to my sponsee. And so it's this channel of carrying the message from my sponsor to my sponsee, and there's kind of a continuum of service that occurs with that. And I'll end with this. What I've learned in OA How is that it is as important to ask for help as it is to provide help, that both are part of carrying the message. When I ask for help, I give someone the opportunity to provide service. And that's what my sponsor does. And I provide help to my sponsee. So thank you very much for letting me share. That's it.
Thanks, Lewis.
For the sake of time, will all How and OA sponsors please join me in sharing only the following. One, how long in OA and How. 2, how long abstinent in OA and How. 3, how much weight lost or gained. This is not a time for sharing for sponsors. Please keep it brief and no applauding between sponsors. If they wish to, sponsors can announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone numbers. Sponsors are invited to share by starting their video and clicking the raise hand button on the participants panel, or pressing *9 on their phone, or just start your video. When it is your turn to share, you will hear your name and your audio will be unmuted. Following your share, please turn off your video as the meeting moderator remutes your line. And
hi, Mary G.
Here I am, Mary G. here in St. Paul, Minnesota. Abstinence date is November 1st, 2012. I've lost and maintained 75 pounds.
Nancy D.
Hello, everyone. Nancy D., compulsive overeater. I came into the rooms of OA How in September of 2017, and my back-to-back abstinence date is from July the 3rd, 2018, and I've been relieved of 109 pounds. I pass.
Kelly C.
Hi, my name is Kelly. I'm from Pennsylvania. My back-to-back OA How abstinence date is December 21st, and by the grace of God, I have lost 35 pounds. Thank you for letting me share.
Bren?
I'm Bren, compulsive reader from Eau Claire, Wisconsin. I'm a 2-hour sponsor. I entered the first entity of the Orders of OA How in March 2004. My most recent absent date is October 2007. I gave away 35 pounds of it, and at present I'm maintaining it at a level my doctor recommends, and with that I will pass. Thank you.
Candace G.
Hi, I'm Candace, a compulsive overeater. I am have been in the room since 2009, July. My most recent abstinence date is December 1st, 2019. I'm down over 100 pounds.
Sheila.
I'm Sheila, compulsive overeater in Minnesota. I came directly to How in May of 2015. My abstinence date is May 19th of 2015, and I have been relieved of over 90 pounds, and I'll pass.
Lewis.
Trials over food. My name is Lewis from Maryland. I came into the rooms of OA How in March of 2006. My back-to-back abstinence date is from January 3rd of last year. And by the grace of God, surrendered over 120 pounds for my top weight.
Lori? Oh. Okay.
Working Lori. On it. Hi, this is Lori. I'm sorry. I usually do this on my iPad and I'm on my phone and it's not the same. Anyway, my name is Lori. I'm a compulsive overeater in South Florida. I've been absent in the 2-hour How program since May 5th, 2006. And I'm maintaining a weight loss of around, I just figured out how to do the video. Sorry, around 150 pounds. Pass.
Kelly S.
Everybody, my name is Kelly. I'm a compulsive overeater.
I came into the rooms in April, the end of April of this year, got abstinent May 10th. And I am down 24 pounds. And I am a 2-hour OA House sponsor. Thank you. Pass.
I just accidentally lowered someone's hand. So if that was you, I apologize. Please raise your hand again. Maureen.
Hi, everyone. Maureen A. from Virginia. I joined traditional OA in March of 2019 and became sugar abstinent. Then I joined OA How in January of this year, became fully abstinent, and have released 58 pounds. And with that, I pass.
Tamara.
Hi, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater. I was blessed with the gift of abstinence April 3rd of 2017. I've been relieved of almost 100 pounds from my top weight, with over 75 pounds in How. My recommitment date is December 1st of 2019, and I pass. Thank you.
Heather M.
Hey, everybody. My name is Heather M. from Texas. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater and food addict. I came into How in August of 2019. I recommitted back-to-back abstinence date is May 14th of 2020. I'm on maintenance, down 35 pounds from my top weight, up 30 pounds from my low weight.
Berta?
Yeah, my name is Berta, and I'm a compulsive overeater in Minneapolis. I first came into this fellowship in December of 2008. The first meetings I went to were in two of them in 1990. I always start that way. And I didn't come back to the fellowship until I got into How in December of 2008. Today is 970 some of back-to-back How abstinence. I've been keeping 65 pounds off for 10 years, and I am off my blood pressure medication. Pass.
Debbie?
Hi, my name is Debbie. I'm a compulsive overeater in Minnesota. I came to the rooms of OA in February of 2005. I started working the How concept in October of 2006. My current abstinence date is October 12th, 2018, and I am down over 120 pounds, and I pass.
Patrick?
My name's Patrick. I'm a compulsive overeater. I first came to OA How in August of 2015. My current back-to-back abstinence date is August 26th of this year. I've been relieved of 165 pounds and no longer require diabetic medication.
Heidi?
Hi, I'm Heidi, compulsive overeater. I came directly into How in October 2007. I lost 150 pounds and kept it off for almost 7 years, and I chose to leave the program. I quickly gained back 110 of that and returned a few years later, and I'm currently down 74 pounds. Thank you.
Jane S.
I'm Jane, compulsive overeater and sponsor on Vancouver Island in BC, Canada. I came into regular OA How, I think, in 2011, and I came into 2-hour How September 19th of last year, 2019, and I'm just a little over a year abstinent in How, and I'm down 14 pounds, or 16 pounds. Thank you.
Megan?
Hey, all. This is Megan in Virginia. I'm an OA House sponsor and a compulsive overeater. My back-to-back abstinence date is June 8th of 2015. I've given away at least 90 pounds twice in program. I've had an abstinent pregnancy, and I'm a relapse survivor, and I pass.
I have someone on the phone, 703 area code. I just asked to unmute you. I think you do *6, if I'm right.
Hi, hello, my name is Nick, very compulsive eater, relapse survivor. I came into How in 1998, and then I went into traditional OA in 2003, in 2006. I lost 110 pounds and maintained that in 2008.
Thank you.
Ruth? Oh, hold on, Ruth, you're muted. Hold on. Go ahead.
Thank you. Oh, hi, this is Ruth in Connecticut. I'm a two-hour OA Health sponsor. My back-to-back date is December 11th of 2008, and I'm maintaining a 45-pound weight loss pass.
Pamela?
Hi, everyone.
Sorry, I think that was my fault, you guys. I apologize. Pamela, can you try again?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
I'm on my laptop tonight and I don't have my microphone. So I'm Pamela, compulsive overeater, food addict, two-hour house sponsor. I came in to OA in the 70s. I came back into OA How on January 22nd, 2016. And my recommitment date is June 15th, 2017. I am now at goal weight and weighing once a week. And I'm grateful to be here tonight. Thank you.
Anne Marie?
Linda, you'll need to unmute her.
Okay. Hang on a second. I can't find her. Here we go. Hold on a second. Thank you. Go ahead, Anne Marie.
Hi, everybody. I'm Anne Marie from Virginia. I'm a compulsive overeater and I'm also an OA two-hour How sponsor. I came into OA in 2014 OA How. My current abstinence date is March of 2020. And I have released 175 pounds from my top weight.
Howard? Oh, I have to unmute you too. Hold on. Sorry. Okay. Howard?
Okay.
There you go.
Hi, it's Howard, a compulsive overeater. I'm a sponsor in the late shift. I've been abstaining a little over 34 years. I have 19 years and 5 months of abstinence in OA How. I've gained 10 pounds and a little bit of sanity.
Hi, you guys. It's Erlinda. I'm a two-hour OA How sponsor. My back-to-back abstinence is February 11, 2019, and I've been relieved of 63 pounds, and I'm grateful to be here. Is there anybody else that needs to go on the phone or anybody else? Otherwise, Amanda, you probably are up, but just give it a minute. Okay. All right. Go, Amanda. Thank you for your service.
Yes, thank you. All right. I'm Amanda, compulsive overeater. I came directly to the rooms of How in October of 2003. Through many relapses that you'll hear about in a little bit, I am currently returned to the rooms May 5th of this year. That's my abstinence date. I have released 53 pounds since May, which is 118 from my top weight.
Right. Hello, this is Virginia from Minnesota, and I entered the halls of OA How in 2007. I lost 122 pounds. I went back out on my own and gained a lot of that back. I recommitted last year in November, and I'm down 45 pounds. And I am a two-hour OA How sponsor, and I do have an opening. And my number is 507-923-0464. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Clay feet. We should remember that all OAs have clay feet. We should not set any member upon a pedestal and mark her or him out as a perfect OA. It is not fair to the person to be singled out in this fashion, and if the person is wise, she or he will not wish it. If the person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are all only one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we have been in OA or how, nobody is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. Anonymity. Can someone please read and pitch on anonymity?
Yeah, Patrick will be okay. Right here.
Just got a little distracted there. Anonymity. Patrick, compulsive reader. Tool number three, anonymity. Hey, anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition because it guarantees that we will place principles before personalities. It offers each of us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we as individual OA members have the right to make our membership known within our community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication means that we never allow our faces or last names to be used once we identify ourselves as OA members. Sorry, something happened here.
We can still see you. We can still hear you.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Okay. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
It is likewise not a break of anonymity. Pardon me. It is not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of our group or to other service offices of OA for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12-step work. It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12-step help for group members in trouble, provided we are careful to admit specific personal information. If their disease is reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may in effect help kill them and their anonymity. Anonymity is a part of the program that allows each of us to stand in front of our fellows and share for the first time honestly who we are, where we have been, and where we hope to go, without fear that our story will be told outside these rooms. For many of us, the OA rooms are the first place where we have no fear being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at that moment. This is the first time for most of us that we experience sharing where we are not told what we did wrong. We came into OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We are supported back to health with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We are encouraged to speak of our pain, and we are lovingly told, your secrets are safe. Come share our recovery. Recovery on a threefold level, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, a word to newcomers. Please join us. However, if you decide that our program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a very serious disease. Whom you see here, what you see here, when you leave here, let it stay here.
Here.
I apologize for the interruption in my share. The Bluetooth kicked out, which it does once in a while. The part that struck me tonight is we come into OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. It was certainly the case for me. I was a longtime member of another fellowship and had considerable years in that fellowship, but I was 400 pounds and dying right in the middle of it. And telling you that I was living a spiritually fit life, right? And I was absolutely full of BS because I wasn't willing to admit my powerlessness over food as well. I'm still in that, a member of that fellowship, but in that fellowship, anonymity was something that I really had never understood. And when I got to OA Howe, I began to really understand the necessity of it and the importance of it. Because when they told me I had to make three calls, I was like, I'm not going to call strangers. But the moment they said that nothing would be shared with anybody else, there was a sense of safety that allowed me to make those first three calls that first day I was abstinent, and it probably saved my life because I was able to get a sponsor as I was able to do the things that I needed to do to begin my abstinence. I also recently had a slip, as you could probably hear based on my recommitment date of this year. And I knew that when I shared that with my sponsor, I could do that in confidence and not worry about her, you know, oh, did you hear so-and-so slipped? And did you hear so-and-so? You know, I knew that I could come back here with open arms. And that saved my life too. It wasn't a food slip. It was more procedural. It was more You know, I'll skip a call here or there. You know, I just like to work the angles and the edges. As my one of my sponsors in another fellowships likes to say to me, Patrick, your ego wants you dead. It'll settle for you with a drink in your hand or your face in a bowl of ice cream, and it will do anything to get you there. And that's true in my life. And the fact that anonymity protected my slip from going out into the world allowed me to gracefully come back after just one day and say, hey, you know, I messed up. I want to get honest. And here I am again. It saved my neck repeatedly in this fellowship. And it's something that I really appreciate and treasure that we honor here. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's Patrick.
Patrick.
Telephone calls.
Okay, could you read that for me, please, Amanda?
Sure, let me.
Thank you.
Pull it up.
I didn't pull it up on my laptop here.
This was a thirst for revenge. The revenge he couldn't have against Lionel Hardigan.
Amanda, do you need someone to read that for you?
I just found it, but thank you, Megan.
Okay.
All right, telephone calls. Compulsive overeating is a disease of isolation. The telephone is a means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard to handle highs and lows we all experience. The telephone is also a daily link to our sponsors, and as part of the surrender process, is a tool by which we learn to ask for help, reach out, and extend the same help to others. In HOW, we are asked to make at least 4 telephone calls a day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 more to other OA members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. All right, go ahead, Pamela.
Thank you, Amanda. I appreciate that. My name is Pamela. I'm a compulsive overeater and food addict to our house sponsor. And I chose telephone tonight because it's a very important tool. I'm an isolator and I like to do projects. And I do crochet and I do this other stuff that takes time and patience to do, which I've had none lately. And those 4 phone calls, the phone calls that I make every day, that keeps me from being totally isolated. As most of you know, I'm in an assisted living, and at the beginning of March, we got locked down, and 2 weeks ago, they took that off, and we can go out and in our cars and go shopping and doing all that stuff. And I was just as content to be in my room. And if it wasn't for the phone calls and phoning people, phoning my sponsor every morning, my sponsee's calling and making my my phone calls, the 3 extra phone calls that I need to make, if I wasn't doing that, I would be lost. I would be absolutely lost. And I'm really grateful for the phone calls. I find by using the phone, I'm not alone. There's others that are struggling just as I am, or they're recovering just as I am. And we can share our day with them. And especially when I've needed to run something by somebody and get other opinions, I'm really grateful that I'm able to do that. I've become open and trustworthy because of our anonymity tool. And I think this is just a wonderful way of doing recovery in my life. The last 5 years has turned around, and it's just amazing I mean, I've gone from a very angry and enraged person to a loving, tolerant, and patient person. And my husband has seen this all happen. And it's all because I use the tools of these programs and most of all, the telephone. Thank you for letting me be part of the meeting tonight.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thanks, Pamela.
Meetings.
Hi, everybody. I'm Anne Marie, and I am a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Anne Marie.
Tool 5, meetings. Meetings are gatherings of two or more compulsive eaters who come together to share their experience before and after recovery and to share the strength and hope OA has given them. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another and by sharing the gifts we receive through this program. We find that being on time for meetings enhances our recovery and provides service to the meeting. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of them all. As OA HAL members, we attend at least one OA HAL meeting a week. My experience with meetings is that, number one, I need them. If I'm not in constant contact on a weekly basis with the program and hearing the tools and listening to the stories and identifying into this program, I'm lost. It's a really important part of my program. The first OA HAL meeting that I attended, and that was my first OA, any kind of OA meeting, was an OA HAL meeting. I remember crying throughout the entire meeting. I couldn't believe that there was a group of people that had my experience. I thought I was the only one that experienced what I have or had done the things I have with food. I was also taken back because no one in there seemed like they were overweight. So I was a little distrustful, to be honest with you. I'm like, okay, where are the people that look like me? I'm not sure that you were ever my size. But I come to find out that many of us have been, you know, quite overweight. And I've seen, you know, people who share pictures and also underweight, you know, people who have put weight on and got up to a healthy weight. My experience, though, with the meeting was that I found out that there is a solution to our problem, the one that I had been searching for my entire life and spent thousands of dollars on. And I found that once I knew that this was the solution, it basically ruined my eating. There was really no way for me to eat compulsively anymore, and realize that there is a solution out there. So I'm grateful for meetings, and I'm grateful to be here tonight and with all of you, my brothers and sisters in recovery. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Anne Marie.
Literature and writing.
Hi, my name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Tamara.
Hey, Tamara. Hello. Literature. We study the textbook Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, another AA book to reinforce our program. By substituting the words food and compulsive eating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, and the OA 12 Steps and 12 Traditions. For today, for daily meditation and Lifeline, our Journal of Recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain basic truths that we found vital to our program. Our literature and the AA books are an ever-available tool
that gives insight into our problem as well as the strength to deal with it and the very real hope that there is a solution for us. Writing, in addition to writing our inventories and the list of people we have harmed, most of us have found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps, further putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions in a way that's often not revealed to us by simply thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see solutions more clearly and perhaps better discern any necessary actions. I think it's interesting. I wonder if they'll update the reading soon. I've been in program almost 4 years, and they've already come out with a new version or a new edition of the Overeaters Anonymous book. And it used to be referred to as the brown book, but I don't know. I think now it's blue, but anyway, kind of a purple color. But so yes, I'm Tamara, compulsive overeater. I have found that this is what the cover looks like. This is the AA big book, and it's anything but little. you know, it's rather thick, but I mean, it has just unbelievable information in it. I had, of course, read the first parts of the book, you know, several times, I think, but I said to my sponsor, well, gosh, I don't think I've read all the stories in the back. So my ego came in and I thought, I can do that, you know? So I was starting with reading one or two paragraphs and then writing on it. So I started out the first few stories, and of course, there's quite a few. There's quite a few sections, and I'm used to reading mysteries. And so, of course, as I'm going along, I'm like, oh, wow, you know, this is really interesting. And then I got to the point where, gee, you know, I realized every story was them finding the solution of recovery. And no matter what their background was, they can be as diverse as you can imagine. And every walk of life, you know, there's a story for everything here. And you know, in a way, I got to thinking, let me guess, they're going to find recovery. And, you know, I got a little I guess I was just surprised. I should have known. You know, that's how they made it in the book. You know, it was great examples of recovery from every walk of life. And, you know, I kind of would chuckle to myself when I get to the part where I'd realize, let me guess, they're going to recover. And, you know, but my thick head needed that. It needed, you know, how many stories? I don't even know what the count is, but, you know, I needed to hear that again and again and again, that people come from all walks of life, you know, in the stories, in the writings, they share, you know, what they were like, what they're like now, and there is recovery. And I'm thankful to all the people that gave time to not only originally, you know, put their information, you know, in the stories, but they've made them through, you know, revisions and different editions, and they're just priceless, you know. And so if you haven't, you know, had a chance to look at this little big book, I'd encourage you to do it. And the stories are not a mystery. They all find recovery, and that's what I hope to do from now on. So with that, I pass. Thank you very much for being here.
Thanks, Tamara.
Thank you, Tamara.
Service.
Hi, I'm Sheila, compulsive overeater.
Hey, Sheila.
Hey, Sheila. Welcome.
Hi, Sheila. Welcome. Service. Carrying the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers is the basic purpose of our fellowship and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help reach a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our own recovery. Putting away chairs, making coffee, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done in a group or for OA as a whole, are ways in which we give back what we have so generously been given. Do what you can when you can. A life of sane and happy usefulness is what we are promised as the result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise. Always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all those, to all who share my compulsion, for this I am responsible. And I intentionally signed up for this tool tonight because over the weekend, one of the days I had kind of a coincidence with service, maybe. I'm actually right now reading the second edition of the OA 12 and 12, and I'm actually working through the workbook. And one of the question one day this weekend was related to service. And on that same day, I happened to read the reading for the given day from Voices of Recovery, which also focused on service. So I just thought that was maybe a calling that I need to be maybe pitching on service tonight. What I'd like to do is I just want to read you a little bit about what I wrote kind of in my workbook. The question was, what part has service and OA played in my recovery? And here's just a little bit about what I wrote. Service has really played a big part in my recovery. I was taught from the very beginning that service is a must in order to stay abstinent. I recall hearing a wise fellow say at one time that those who are abstinent are those that are doing service. When doing service, I'm required to show up, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally as well. In some cases, I even need to prepare. People are counting on me to be there. If I were in the food, I may not be able to show up. Even though I may show up physically, I certainly wouldn't be there mentally and emotionally. And I went on and said a few more things, but that just kind of gives you a few thoughts of what I think about my thoughts on service. And I forgot to time myself, so I guess when you get sick of hearing me, just tell me to stop. But then I also want to read, again, from the Voices of Recovery, it was October 10th. It says, as OA members, we may donate many hours of service to each other. Then it goes on to say, I have noticed in my home groups that people who remain in recovery are people who continue to give service. Service gives me practice at freeing myself from the bondage of self. I am gaining this freedom by concentrating on things outside of myself. Every time I concentrate on what a fellow OAer is saying, I am breaking one of the strands that binds me to myself. I love that. And every time I go to a service meeting and try to speak about what is best for OA as a whole, rather than what is best for me, I am breaking one more strand that binds me to myself. Every time I listen to a fellow compulsive overeater and encourage her recovery, I am breaking one of the strands that binds me to myself. Every time I give service without counting the hours I give, or looking for any reward, I am filled with freedom, friendship, joy, and abstinent recovery. And I think, yeah, I just want to thank everyone on this meeting tonight that is doing service, people sharing and doing tools and readings, and those behind the scenes. And if you're not doing any of those, you're here, which is a key to service. We can't have a meeting without people being here. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Sheila. Will all people doing service for OA at any level please applaud service?
Yay, service! Woo-hoo! Yay! All right,
the Minnesota OA How Live meeting is a friendly place and we want to get to know each other. If you are attending for the first time, please turn on your video and unmute your line or press star and six on your telephone's keypad and introduce yourself by first name only and where you are from. If you would like to receive phone calls, please give us your phone number, time zone, and best times to call.
Hi, my name is Patricia. I'm here for the first time. Patricia S. calling in from Montreal, so it's a Canadian number. And my number is 514-886-1241. And it's Eastern Standard Time.
Hi, well, Patricia.
Welcome, Patricia.
Glad you're here.
Hi, my name's Heather. I'm calling in from Victoria, British Columbia in Canada. And it's my first time calling into a HOW meeting. My phone number is 250-885-4335. Thanks.
Hi, Heather. Welcome.
Hi, Heather.
Welcome, Heather.
Come in. Heather.
Hello. My name is Elizabeth. I'm a food addict. It's my first time at this meeting.
Welcome, Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth.
Welcome, Elizabeth.
Glad to be here.
Thank you. Glad to be here. I'm going to leave my number if that's okay.
Perfect.
Thanks. I'm in Massachusetts and my number is 201-952-1914. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Elizabeth.
Hi, this is Lori. I haven't been in house for a long time, but I don't think I've ever been to this meeting, so I'm just introducing myself. I'm in Florida, East Coast time, and I pass.
Hi, Lori. Welcome.
Lori, welcome.
Welcome, Lori.
I thought I saw Katie.
Hi, yeah, you did see Katie. My name's Katie. It's my first time on this meeting. I'm from Montreal, Canada, and I'm in the Eastern Standard Time Zone, and my number is 438-878-6994, and I would love to receive calls. Thank you.
Welcome, Katie.
Hi, Katie.
Welcome,
Katie.
Thanks for coming here.
Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Anyone else? All right. Welcome back, everyone, and welcome to our newcomers. May we please have a treasurer's report?
Well, I'm Lewis, Prowl Silver Food in Maryland. Currently, we have $841.11 in the bank. I'd like to make a request of the group. If we can have a group conscience meeting to discuss what's the prudent reserve we need to have and kind of talk through our regular expenses and then how we want to disperse the funds to intergroup and to World Service, you know, what percentages and under what kind of regularity do you all want us to do this? So. If and when we have our next group conscience, I'd like to put that as a topic. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Lewis.
Thanks, Lewis.
Our seventh tradition helps this meeting provide the equipment, enhance our website, contribute to our service structure, refine the technology, develop other OA face-to-face groups, and more. Please go to mnhowlive.org to donate. Tonight, I will read the promises. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. Big Book, page 83 and 84. Are there any announcements?
Yes, here's an announcement. You got me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Okay, this is Mary G. Sheila and I are looking for leaders.
And we have openings on the 10th and the 17th of November. So if you haven't led for a while, I'll leave all my contact information in the chat. Thanks.
Thank you, Mary.
Hello, everyone. Can I go?
Yep, go ahead, Nancy.
Alrighty, thank you. I'm Nancy D, compulsive overreader. And I'm doing a announcement with regard to the intergroup. These meetings take place once a month, the second Saturday of each month. And it was very cool to hear a fellow mentioning the fact just about service meetings and ways to detach from ourselves, strands. That was pretty cool. I just thought that was cool that she mentioned those things. But nonetheless, these meetings take place once a month. They're about an hour and a half long, and we discuss the inner workings of the OA HOW program and ways for individuals to participate. There are various committees, and a couple of meetings I've heard individuals asking for a representative for the intergroup from this meeting. Everyone's welcome. We discuss ways to carry the message, also just ways to participate, ways to get the solution out to others. I'm just trying to think what else. We'd love to have you. So again, the intergroup, it's a service meeting. It occurs once a month, the second Saturday of each month, and it's a time for your voice to be heard. So please come. You're welcome. We'd love to have you. Thank you so much. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Nancy.
Hey, everyone. Hi, everyone. This is Howard, a compulsive overeater. So Zoom has changed some of their security parameters, and Zoom now requires every meeting either have a password or have a waiting room. And so we didn't have a password for quite a while because we just wanted to make the meeting more accessible. We kind of manage the security here within the meeting pretty well. So we're gonna add a password because the waiting room's kind of a hassle. So and I think in 2 weeks we're gonna make it a requirement. It's gonna be the same password. It's gonna be 12-1212-1212. It's already going out on the correspondence we send out every week from the meeting. And we're gonna make sure we get it updated on the Unity intergroup site and on the virtual intergroup site. So we'll have it out there. And so just, maybe get in the habit of, even if you use the link now that has the encrypted password, it will still work on the meeting even though we don't have it set up yet. So, and with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Howard.
Thanks, Howard.
Any other announcements? All right, I will piggyback on Nancy's announcement regarding intergroup really quickly. I am this meeting's Unity intergroup, so that is our intergroup here in the Minneapolis area. We also, I think Nancy said, we meet the second Saturday of every month, 12:30 to 2. And the only thing I wanted to pass on that was discussed this last Saturday is that board elections will be coming up in January. So if anyone is interested in joining the intergroup and seeing what it's all about, like Nancy had mentioned, it's kind of the inner workings of the OA program. There are several regions throughout the country and world that have these business type meetings. So in January, there will be board openings for board members. There will be committee coordinators. Committee coordinators are people such as the newsletter editor, or there's a Buffalo retreat that we typically do in April, I believe it is. It's usually in person. This year, unfortunately, it was not. Not sure about next year. But there's just different ways to give service above the meeting levels. So if anyone is interested in that, you can reach out to me. or it can be found on overeaters.org as well. All right, one last call. Any other announcements? All right, literature and books. Newcomer and sponsor materials are located at the virtual intergroups resource page at www.oahowphonemeetings.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at bookstore.oa.org. It is now time for medallions. At HOW meetings, we recognize the milestones of recovery for those working the HOW program. All other OA absence is given a round of applause. Yay!
Yay!
Anyone may request a medallion by turning on your camera and unmuting your phone. All right. So like it said, we love to celebrate. So what I will do is I will ask first, is there anyone that is celebrating 20 or more years of OA HOW abstinence tonight or since the last time that you were at a meeting? 10 to 19 years of OA HOW abstinence? 5 to 9 years of abstinence? 4 years? 3 years? 2 years?
I have 2 years.
Yay! Yay. Congratulations, Debbie.
Ooh, way to go, Debbie.
Wow. Jeez.
Congratulations. All right. 18 months. 1 year? 9 months. 6 months? 3 months and 1 month, 30 days. It's a tough one. All right, not tonight, keep coming back. The last medallion is the most important one that we have, and it is our chip of desire. Doesn't mean that you are absent, but that you saw something tonight that you may want. Is there anyone who would like a chip of desire?
Hi, this is Patricia in Montreal. I'd love a chip of desire, please.
Great. Yay, Patricia.
Yay, Patricia.
Welcome.
Patricia.
Well done.
Hi, this is Elizabeth. I would love a chip of desire.
Yay, Elizabeth.
Yay,
all right, Elizabeth.
Elizabeth,
Yay.
Thanks for being here. All right, Debbie. Congratulations, everyone. Step-ups. At this point in our meeting, we ask the group to join us as we celebrate another example of miracles that abound in OA. The stepping up portion of the meeting asks the sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence, who has completed the first 3 steps of the program, and who is now ready to become a sponsor. At HOW meetings, new sponsors are presented with a cactus plant to signify the tough love of the program. Stick with the stickers, remember to drink your water, and remember that we don't water down the program. Are there any step-ups? Not tonight, but keep coming back. Anniversaries. Birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous abstinence. At anniversaries, a candle is lit at the beginning of the meeting. We invite the person who is celebrating an anniversary to turn on their video for the anniversary reading. Are there any anniversaries?
Yes, there is.
Yes, there is.
Yay!
I have my candle.
Right. Oh, congratulations, Debbie.
Thank you.
Yay.
Debbie, now comes the biggest question yet. What about the practice of these principles in all our affairs? Can we love the whole pattern of living as eagerly as we do the small segment of it that we discover when we try to help other alcoholics achieve sobriety? Can we bring the same spirit of love and tolerance into our sometimes deranged family lives that we bring into our AA group? Can we have the same kind of confidence and faith in these people who have been infected and sometimes crippled by our own illness that we have in our sponsors? Can we actually carry the AA spirit into our daily work? Can we meet our newly recognized responsibilities to the world at large? And can we bring new purpose and devotion to the religion of our choice? Can we find a new joy of living in trying to do something about these things? Furthermore, how shall we come to terms with seeming failure or success? Can we now accept and adjust to either without despair or pride? Can we accept poverty, sickness, loneliness, and bereavement with courage and serenity? Can we steadfastly content ourselves with the humbler yet sometimes more durable satisfactions when the brighter, more glittering achievements are denied us? The AA answer to these questions about living is yes. All of these things are possible. We know this because we see monotony, pain, and even calamity turned to good use by those who keep on trying to practice AA's 12 steps. And if these are facts of life for the many alcoholics who have recovered in AA, they can become the facts of life for many more. Congratulations, Debbie. 2 years. Congratulations.
Yay, Debbie.
Congratulations, Debbie.
Wonderful. Well done.
Yeah. All right. So the leader now qualifies for 10 minutes, but I think that I will forgo my share. So we have a complete 20 minutes for Debbie to share her story. So I now would like to introduce Debbie, our guest speaker who qualifies for 20 minutes.
Thank you. My name is
Debbie. It's Sheila. How would you like to be timed?
Give me a 10, a 5, and a 2.
Okay. And is in the chat fine or a verbal?
I'd prefer verbal.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. This is Debbie, and I am a compulsive overeater, and I'm going to share my screen here. Share my screen. There we go. And show you that I do qualify. These are my obviously before pictures. My weight topped out at about 260 some pounds. And so I definitely am a compulsive overeater. And these are after I reached maintenance. I'm going to stop the share now, if I can figure out how to do it. There we go. So I have been around the rooms of OA for a long time. I first came into OA in 2005, and it took me a while to come to HOW. I had heard of HOW. I had been going to a pretty strong OA meeting in the Twin Cities area and realized, I started going to some of the, like the convention and Buffalo retreats and hearing about HOW. And I always kind of knew that I needed to be in HOW, but I was scared. I didn't want to be in HOW because I was afraid that it wouldn't work. And I knew it was the last stop for me, right? And so I didn't, I was afraid, and it took me a couple of years. And I remember very clearly my first HOW meeting. I had gone to the Buffalo retreat in the spring. That was in like March or April, something like that. And they break you into small groups. And I was in a small group with a woman, and she was really struggling. And she kind of shared some of what was going on with her. And, so I kind of knew her story a little bit. And in regular OA, I didn't call my sponsor, even though I had one. I just, why call people? That was my thing. I didn't do phone calls. And after I got home from the Buffalo retreat, this person who was struggling called me. And I remember thinking, why is she calling me? This is really kind of weird. I don't really know her very well. And it threw me. And I didn't I didn't know what to say to her. So, but I chatted a little bit, and then, and you know, and that was in the spring, like I said. And then later on, a few months later, you know, I'm still kind of struggling my way through OA, trying to figure out what abstinence was. I was really good at trying to figure out what abstinence was. I was trying all kinds of different things to figure it out, and nothing was working because I wasn't losing any weight. And I wasn't finding any kind of serenity or abstinence whatsoever. And finally in August, there was the Region 5 convention, or Region 4, maybe it was the Region 4 convention here in the Twin Cities. And I went to the convention and there was a HOW meeting. And I went to this HOW meeting. And it just so happened that there was a step up at that HOW meeting. And it just so happened that the person I had met at the Buffalo retreat, the same one who called me, was stepping up. And it was, I remember thinking at the time, okay, God, I get it. This is where I need to be. Now that was in August, and it took me 2 more months before I actually went to another meeting. And this time I went to the Saturday morning Circle Pines meeting, and I listened to the speaker, and one of the people there was someone that I had been on the decorations committee for the Buffalo retreat with. And he's like, oh, Debbie, I didn't know you were doing HOW. And I'm like, well, you know, I'm not really. I'm just kind of, you know, checking it out. I don't have a sponsor or anything like that. You know, I wasn't going to get all crazy. And he's like, oh, well, so-and-so has an opening. So, here you go. And I ended up leaving that meeting with a sponsor. And, you know, I still wasn't completely bought into this whole idea of HOW. In fact, I went home, and at the dinner table, I announced to my family that I was going to try this crazy thing called HOW, and it meant that I needed to weigh and measure all my food, and I needed to be really strict, and it was going to get a little crazy for me, but not to worry, because I was only going to try it for 30 days, and, you know, see what happened. And that was in October of 2006. And I ended up sticking around. I stuck around the rooms of HOW, and I had some really good abstinence from food for a long time. And when I say I had some good abstinence from food, I was abstinent from food. I was following my food plan. I was using the tools, doing my phone calls, going to meetings. I was doing 2 meetings a week. Convinced myself I was working a really strong program. And the whole time I was exercising like a maniac. I worked in a organization that had a very large state-of-the-art health and fitness facility in the same building. I was not in the health industry, but I was part of an organization that was part of it. So I had free access to all the workout classes, to the full gym, pool, you know, the whole thing, personal trainers, everything. And I took advantage of it. And it was encouraged, you know, in that culture, it was encouraged. I was a leader in the company, and I needed to be a good role model. These are all the things I would tell myself. So I was hitting up, you know, for a while, I was hitting up, you know, 2, 3, sometimes even 4 workout classes a day during the week while I was at work. And I was also decided I was going to be a long distance biker. So I would ride my bike, you know, up where my goal was to ride my bike 100 miles a week, in addition to working out several times a day. So I was pretty crazy about that. And I never connected it. For a long time, I didn't make the connection. And this went on for a few years, and then my life got busy. and I didn't have quite as much time. I started getting a little bit older. Working out was really getting tiring. It was making me tired. And my job was, I was getting more and more responsibility at my job. So I was needing to spend more time thinking about it and focusing on it and those types of things. And then in 2015, my best friend got cancer. And I remember very well the day she lost her hair. She called me up crying and told me that her hair was coming out. And this is someone that I had been friends with for close to 50 years. We had been best friends. So she was like a sister to me. And it was really emotional for me. And it was really hard for me to realize how powerless I was to help her. And I picked up. I was sitting in my office and I got off the phone and I opened, I had a cabinet in there and I opened my cupboard. And the only thing I had in there were some old stale rice chips, but I ate them. And then I thought, then I went for a walk because I was like, oh my gosh, what the heck did I just do, you know? And I called my sponsor and told her about it. And I got abstinent again right away. But it was hard, you know, I was getting crazy in my head. I did not have any serenity. I wasn't feeling good. Things were coming really difficult, you know, in the beginning of how, you know, those first 5 years or so, I felt like I was on top of the world, you know, and I call it my how honeymoon. And things were great. And then they weren't. And I was really, really struggling. And I struggled and limped along. And I wasn't being honest. I wasn't being honest with my sponsor. I wasn't being honest on my outreach calls. And I wasn't being honest with myself. And then things kind of finally started coming to a head in 2017, the beginning of
10 minutes, Debbie.
Thank you. In 2017, and I slipped. I slipped big time, and I was, you know, it wasn't a slip, it was a sliding down the hill slip kind of thing, because it was little things. It was instead of 3.0, it was 3.1. And then pretty soon, instead of, 1 ounce, it was, okay, well, this isn't very much, so I think I'll have 2 ounces. So it was doing those kinds of things. And then in, it was December 29th of, I can't remember the year, must have been 16 or 17. I picked up sugar for the first time since coming to Howe. And once I picked up sugar, it was all over for me. I could not, no matter how hard I tried, I could not get abstinent. Again, I get 2 or 3 days and then be right back in the food. And obviously I started gaining weight and I also quit going to face-to-face meetings. I lost my job. I had worked for this organization for 24 years and I was terminated. And it was a huge, huge blow to my ego. And what I realize when I look back on it is the first step where it says we admitted we were powerless. I couldn't admit that I was powerless because I like power. I don't want to be powerless. I still don't want to be powerless over anything. Not food, not cigarettes, not alcohol, not drugs, not any of the substances that I am completely powerless over. And over my life, I'm completely powerless over what's going on in my life. So it really kind of struck me that that control freak in me, right? You know, I want to be in control and I want to have the power and I need to let go, but I don't know how to let go because it's so hard because I want this so bad. And, you know, come on, God, don't you understand? You know, and I was having all of these conversations in my head and, you know, trying to convince God that I was right and he was wrong, bottom line. And finally in, I think it was in May of, 17, I got another sponsor. And like I said, I hadn't been honest. I hadn't been telling anybody. I was still going to meetings. I was still doing calls. I was still calling a sponsor, but I wasn't being honest. I wasn't telling anybody that I was eating sugar. I wasn't telling anybody what was going on with me. I was going to do it myself. I was going to fix it myself. And nobody needed to know. It was that false pride in me that was really holding me back. And once I surrendered again and got a new sponsor and started working, then I was able to, you know, I was able to come back a little bit. And I got about 10 months of abstinence in, and then I slipped again. And it took me, and that was in May of 2018, and it took me until October of 2018 to find my abstinence again. And of course, at this time, I'm gaining weight. You can't eat all the sugar I was eating. Without gaining weight, I gained about 45 to 50 pounds back that I had lost. And then, you know, I was able to get back on program. And I don't know how it happened, really. I think when I really think about it, some of the things I've learned is that there's a difference between surrendering and giving up. And it took me a long time to figure that out, that by surrendering, I was not giving up and, you know, giving in, giving up. I wasn't doing that. I was turning over. I was leaning on a higher power. I was leaning on God. And
Debbie, that's 5 minutes.
Thank you. And it has helped me to be able to reframe my abstinence and my surrender and my powerlessness in those ways. I have a busy life, and I share a home with my three grandchildren who are 6, 8, and 10 years old, and my daughter and my husband. So we have a very busy household. We're distance learning three children. And it's not always fun. And it's not always pretty. You know, I am not always the nice grandma baking cookies in the kitchen. I'm very hands-on. Yesterday, I got into a tussle with the defiant 10-year-old over some schoolwork. And I had to make some amends today. Because of that, you know, because I want to control him. Doesn't he know that I know better? You know, that whole thing. So I'm not by any means, you know, this wonderful, you know, abstinence hasn't given me the end all be all personality that I want. But what it has given me is my serenity back. I feel good again. I have more patience most of the time. I have energy to keep up with three young children. I have a family that I don't mind spending. I enjoy spending time with my family. And I used to never be home. I was never home. I was always at work or working out or riding my bike or going to meetings or doing something. And now, well, it's a pandemic too, but now I'm home almost all the time. And I have been, you know, for about a year, even before the pandemic. I've been working from home for for about 3 years, and it hasn't always been stable for me. I work under contract now, so it's a whole different ball game for me, but it's good, and it's made me slow down. It's made me look at my life, and it's given me, by finding my way back to how and really surrendering and reaching out to my higher power and realizing that I was the one who left, not God. I was able to, find that serenity and get some of that peace back in my heart again. So,
2 minutes, Debbie.
Thank you. I think I'm gonna wrap it up just by saying thank you so much for allowing me to share my story tonight, for allowing me to speak, and for always being here week after week for me to jump on the meeting, and knowing that you guys are there and always willing to have a listening ear for me. So I appreciate it. And with that, I am going to pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie.
The floor is now open for 3-minute pitches or sharing in how meetings we share our experience, strength, and hope. No one is prohibited from sharing, but we ask that you focus on the solution. All pitches should be of a positive nature in which you share your growth and recovery. All other issues can be worked out over the phone or after the meeting. We have time for about one pitch. Would someone care to pitch? Anyone? All right, not tonight. I want to thank you for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting today. I also thank all those who participated, especially Debbie, who offered so much of herself.
Yay. Hey, Debbie. Yes, congratulations. Thank you.
May we please have the reading of Just for Today.
Jane, you may be muted.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes, we can.
Okay. All right. Jane, compulsive overeater. Thanks for the meeting, everyone. It was really good.
Jane.
Just for today, I will live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problem at once. I can do something for one day that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. This assumes to be true what Abraham Lincoln said, that most folks are as happy as they make their minds to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. Just for today, I will try to strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. Just for today, I will exercise my soul in 3 ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least 2 things I don't want to do just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from 2 pests, hurry and indecision. Just for today, I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. During this half hour, sometime, I will try to get better perspective of my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Jane.
Thank you.
Closing statement.
Thank you, Jane.
Closing statement. To those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here today should safely remain here as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will get your weight off or on. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove compulsion in time and give you contentment in all areas of life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to please join in saying the Serenity Prayer. Those attending virtually, please unmute yourselves. Let's pray for those who are still suffering. God, grant us serenity.
Accept the things I cannot change.
Courage to change the things I can.
The wisdom to know the difference.
I will.
Not mine.
Thanks, Amanda. Thanks, Debbie.
Thanks, Debbie.
Thanks, Amanda.
Thank you, Amanda.
Thank you, everyone, for being here.
Thank you so much, everyone.
Thank you, everybody. Have a good evening. Bye.
Bye.
Good night, all.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. Have a good week.
Thank you.
Hey, Howard, are you still on?
I'm still here.
Hi. Hey, Kelly. Hey, I saw you sent me the file, but I can't open it or save it.
No, I haven't sent anything to you.
Really? It says file. That's weird.
No, I haven't sent it to you yet. I will send it to you through the group email.
Okay, well, no wonder I can't open it then.
Right.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing that, and thanks for your service.
Well, sure.